When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hi everyone, I'm Deb Flaschenberg. Welcome to Yoga, Birth, Babies, a podcast produced by Prenatal Yoga Center. We will be diving into everything prenatal yoga, birth, and baby related, hoping to inspire, educate, and empower you through your journey into motherhood. Thank you for listening.
Hi, I'm Deb Flaschenberg. I'm your host for Yoga, Birth, Babies, and today we're going to talk about grief, anxiety, during pregnancy and early parenthood during COVID. And I have Jessica Shapley. She's a certified social worker and mother of two, and she's been with PYC for years, and she's an amazing person. When I thought about what's going on for somebody that is pregnant or just had a baby, and the idea that maybe they had a certain vision of how they wanted their pregnancy to be, and it's not that right now, there's a certain amount of grief. There's a certain amount of anxiety about what's going on. And then there's even, how do I even parent during this self-isolation? So when I was pondering this, I thought Jessica is the person to talk to. She leads our new mom support groups at the studio. And I know these things have come up in her groups because they're currently happening. So she shares some amazing information, some insight, and she's just a generally well-rounded, fantastic person. So I think you're going to enjoy that. Before we get to that, I want to say thank you to those who have been leaving ratings and reviews on our podcast. It really just delights me. And before I started recording this intro, I thought, let me take a look, see if anything's come up. And somebody did. So I want to leave. This is from Crazy for Macy. And she says, highly recommend. Absolutely love this podcast. Deb is a great interviewer, and there's a range of topics, interesting topics, that will appeal to many pregnant people, caregivers of babies, young children, and people in the birth work field. So I want to say thank you for that. I really appreciate your time and effort to do that. If you have a moment and this podcast really speaks and resonates to you, so I would ask you if you can just jump over to wherever you listen to this and leave a rating and review. It helps people find us. And then just another announcement. I've made this in the last couple podcasts, but it's now official. I put it out there on our website, and we are doing the fall teacher training online. It took a little bit to get there. We're finishing the spring one online, and I thought, we don't know what's going on. We don't know where we're going to be in the fall. And instead of pivoting last minute, we're just making the decision. That way people can plan. And the people I've already spoke to, just even today, one of the fall teacher trainees, she lives in Connecticut. She's like, great, I don't have to worry about getting into the city and accommodations. So we just thought, let's just call it. We're going to do the fall prenatal yoga teacher training online. So if you've wanted to study with us, but it's been you've been unable to travel to New York twice, because that's not accessible for everybody because it's over two long weekends, don't worry. Stay home. Do it with us online. It's really fun. It's interactive. We take enough breaks that you don't get that whole Zoom fatigue. We're well aware of that because we're there with you too. So that's exciting. And then we're going to see what goes ahead. We do have a plan that will be in Washington, D.C. later in the year. I think we're going back to Richmond as well. It's kind of all up in the air, but I believe that's going to happen. But I'm excited that we made the decision for the fall teacher training. And then don't forget, we've got our other online offerings. And the whole studio is basically online at this point. So far and away, please join us because we're here. All right, I'm going to take a super quick break. And when we come back, please enjoy my conversation with Jessica. Hi, Jess, how are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
Well, as we described, I'm holed up in my room right now. My kids are downstairs, quiet, maybe, I don't know. We'll see. Baking cookies today. That's one of our, I'm using that as a science. I'm like, that covers science for today.
It covers a few things.
Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Measurements, mm-hmm. math. So yep. Yeah, mm-hmm. that's where we are. Today's actually been a pretty decent day. It's up and down, which is exactly what I thought this conversation is so important. So talking about grief and anxiety during social distancing, pregnancy, postpartum, I feel for the community because this is, it's a big time. So I guess before we get into that, I know you, I've known you for years, but others may not. So tell me a little bit about yourself and your work.
Well, I'm a licensed social worker. I do couples and family therapy. I run the new mother support groups at Prenatal Yoga Center and around the city. I'm a sleep consultant. And I'm another person in this world right now that has the backdrop of COVID. So while I'm healthy and my family is healthy, there is that backdrop. So I am navigating that as an individual, and I am navigating that with my clients as well.
And you've been doing the support groups, which is why I thought you're really hearing it, probably like the raw information from the student body. So that's why I thought you'd be the perfect person. So I guess let's just dive right in. One of the things I was thinking about this experience as I was relating it through the lens of what I'm going through is I had a bit of a sense of grief for my own family, especially my kids. Like I have a kindergartner, I have a third grader, and they're expressing grief of what they're not getting. You know, they had like field day at the end, and my son was in this like class play, and my daughter's feeling a sense of grief and loss about kindergarten. Like this really, I think kindergarten is this really special time. And I was thinking about how that then relates to the pregnant people and this feeling of loss of the pregnancy maybe they envisioned, the pregnancy they might have tried really hard for and spent years trying to have, and then the loss of the vision of maybe early postpartum. So I know this theme probably comes up a lot in your support groups. I thought I would just present this and kind of let you run with it.
Yeah. I think grief is one of the main things across the board, but certainly with this population, that people are feeling attached to sort of the expectations, as you said, what I thought it would be like, what I hoped it would be like, what I planned it to be like. And so I'm fine, you know, and then the complication around that grief, because the excitement or the joy of the pregnancy, the excitement and the joy and the hopefulness of your new baby and your new family and all that. So it's sort of this mixed feeling. How dare I feel sad or grieving when I'm pregnant finally, or I'm pregnant, period, or I had this baby and thank God the baby is okay. And how can I possibly be grieving? And so it's a complicated time, and I would call it a complicated grief. And what I think just generally about grief across the board, historically, in this setting, et cetera, is you got to make space for that. You got to honor that. We have to honor that with our children. We have to honor that within ourselves. And to be able to hold a place within ourselves, within our heart, where we can hold that grief and that sadness and that disappointment, and still we can also at the same time hold the joy of perhaps the moment or the gratitude of the moment. I think the most important piece, I'll just reiterate, is giving that space and honoring that, giving grief some space and honoring that. It's so important. And
so not
everybody
trying to talk
is feeling it.
Oneself out of it, just giving, letting yourself be there, acknowledging it, let it run its course.
That's right. I mean, not even let it run its course. It's not even about that necessarily, but let it just be. You know, and there's going to be times, even in the beginning of this conversation with you, today was a decent day, have ups and downs. I mean, you know, this is all a part of it, you know, riding the wave, sinking into it, and yet you are emerging from it. And that feeling of grief might be a wave It might be a day. It might be a moment, just like any emotion.
Have you encountered people that haven't been able to pull themselves out of it? That they're just feeling such a sense of loss by what they had envisioned? And what would you say to, say you were in the support group and you did have someone that was just, they just couldn't get themselves out. It was just, it's so opposite of what they had envisioned and they're just really in despair.
Yeah, well, I think with any client in despair, any person in despair, there's a lot of parts that need to be addressed or looked at or calculated and postpartum, you know, issues around postpartum blues and postpartum depression that needs to be assessed different and separately, but in conjunction with the sadness, the grief around this setting. So, I mean, that would be one piece to assess. That said, the person that keeps ruminating back to but look where we're at. You know, I have not seen that. I think that in the groups that I hold, with the couples that I'm working with the families that I'm working with, that it might come around and touch that topic again, that sort of hopeless topic at some points, the unfairness feeling at some points. There's also the hope, the resilience, the pulling it together for self and baby and family that both creates this bittersweetness of this time, but also helps pull out of some of the most difficult parts of this grieving process with regard to the climate we are in. So I do see people, you know, struggling, certainly. And some to ground just in terms of practical things. So some of the work, besides honoring those feelings that might come up, you know, around grief or any other feeling for that matter, is grounding yourself in sort of what you do have control over, you know, and as we know, postpartum, a time where it's like, you know, the baby rules the roost. There's much control, so to speak. But there are some ways to sort of manage or not overwhelm it with what's going on in this climate. So that might be stepping back from media, reaching out to friends and networks and others via Zoom or FaceTime or Facebook for that matter. Grounding yourself in a more mindfulness practice. What is in this moment? In this moment, my baby isn't crying. In this moment, my partner and I are able to sit by the sunny window while I nurse my baby. You know, in this moment, coming back to the moment can help with sort of not falling into a depressive loop around the grief, but still honoring that grief.
I like that. Now, would you classify kind of the grief and loss differently than maybe anxiety around this time? Or is that kind of the same thing, just kind of semantics?
I do think it's different. But I think there's sort of in the Venn diagram of it, there's overlap.
Okay.
But I do think, you know, there's the grief of the expectations or the hopes you might have had that can't be, you know, and that might be, you know, when things are starting to get perhaps easier with your baby and you're ready to kind of venture out into the sidewalk or whatever and meet a friend for a cup of coffee or tea or, you know, we're not doing that, you know, and that's disappointing and we're not bringing our baby to all these classes now that they're able to do this, that, or the other thing. That's disappointing.
Are you finding that
I will say before I get into go ahead.
I was just going to ask for the anxiety, but please, please, please continue.
All right, you know, but I will say that what I am finding with the moms in the groups that I've had during this time frame, what I've heard repeated over and over again around sort of the sadness around that, yes, but also, wow, I'm not busy doing. I'm actually able to be. And that perhaps one of the gifts or the possibilities of this time frame, this way, way, way slowed down time frame, is that you're actually able to be more still. You're actually able to watch your baby and kind of go with a rhythm instead of impose a rhythm sometimes.
I love that you said that. I 100% agree.
Yeah.
I feel like,
have you found that too in your family?
I have. And, you know, it's really interesting because, you know me, I'm rather organized. And I used to look at the weekend, Saturday and Sunday. And in my brain, I organized into what I call four quadrants. I had the Saturday morning, the Saturday afternoon, the Sunday morning, the Sunday afternoon. Like I would kind of, we'd fill those often. You know, activities and play dates and, you know, outings. And while they were fun, you know, they were exhausting. Mm-hmm. And there is something actually really nice that mainly Sunday is the day that it's just really open, that it's just spacious. And I'm actually enjoying, we're not running anywhere. You know, even during the regular school week, there was pickup and drop off and activities and Hebrew school, yada, yada. It was just, it was constant movement, constant juggling. And while I do want my kids to have that socialization again, there is something nice about the slowing down, like you said, like this being together as a family. That said, there's other times that I'm like, please get out of the house and leave me alone.
Which we'll address in a minute. We'll address that kind of stuff in a minute.
I was literally like, can I just go to the bathroom by myself without you asking me questions? Yes. Like that.
Please,
yeah, we
God,
can talk
please.
About that.
Yep.
But there is something that the force to slow down, the force to really be together, the force to get to know each other even deeper. I will say I've enjoyed that a good 90% of the time.
Right. And for a lot of couples, certainly not all couples, and certainly not all new moms or moms are coupled, but for some, the having partner there during your maternity leave, so to speak, and then some, for you both to learn the rhythms, for you both to watch the baby in a different way. Not that it doesn't, it comes in a perfectly sealed package. I don't want to imply that at all. But for some people, this has really been really a gift in many ways. And the other part of what you were asking before, you were saying before, is, you know, where does the grief and where is it anxiety and where is the overlap? You know, the anxiety is when it becomes overwhelming. The anxiety is when you are stuck in the rumination and what you might start doing as future tripping, you know, so kind of make looking into the future over there and not being able to get any sense of what that is. And that becomes the anxious piece, the what if piece, the oh my God piece. And certainly as a new mom, there's some of that that happens anyway. Here we are partnered with thousands of other people that if we can pull the future in, and I have said this in my new moms groups for years and years, just generally, pulling the future in. The future
What do you mean by that? Go a little bit deeper what you mean by that.
Yeah, so the future isn't a month away. Yeah, the future is not a month away, 3 months away, 6 months away. Sometimes the future is later this afternoon. And then that's what we have to do, is keep the future very close. You know, if our baby is not sleeping, or if we're having a rough day, if we think about, oh my God, how long is this going to last? Will she ever sleep separately? Will she ever feed differently? The word ever, will it ever? Mm-hmm. You know, when that becomes the future, bring it in. Let's just take it minute by minute, day by day, hour by hour, perhaps every few days by every few days. It gives us, in this environment, absolutely, but in life, just generally, it gives us a chance to not have whatever it is we're worrying or fretting or nervous or anxious about become too big. It doesn't necessarily need to be bigger than what it is. So bringing the future closer. Yeah.
I get that. Actually, it's interesting you're saying that. I was talking today in the 12 o'clock postnatal I was teaching, and I always work up to a peak pose, but I happen to have a few students that had a pretty strong practice. So I said where we're going, and I could say, one of them, their eyes got kind of big, and I said, let's not get overwhelmed by, you know, where we're going to work into. Let's just take it pose by pose, step by step to get there. And we may never get there, you know, and when I said that, I could see him be like, oh, okay, I just have to take, you know, each step, and I might, you know, I might get my body in it and I might not. So it kind of sounds the same thing, that when we look at the end goal, it could feel overwhelming as opposed to the pieces to get there.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, as you were saying that, it also reminded me of, you know, in normal world, when you're out with your toddler and you're taking a walk with them to get to the playground or to get to that thing you were going to go to.
That the one block.
And they want to stop
minutes.
At every. Yeah. Yeah. A lifetime, you know, and that phrase, it's not the destination, it's the journey. Mm-hmm. And I think that's very applicable to this time and this framework and to so many things. It's, you know, eventually your baby will sleep and will sleep well. Eventually, you know, you might have XYZ worry off the plate. Okay, that's all gonna, you know, let's just be here now, though. And right here now, let's take a look around. And when looking around, let's say, can ground ourselves in sort of this in the moment stuff, in this, it's almost like life has become in this meta kind of way a mindfulness practice, because we cannot go too far in the future, and as a new mom we cannot go too far in the future. Right here, right now, we know it. Our baby's eating calmly. Oh, my baby found their hands. Oh, I'm able to eat the sandwich and chew fully because she's sleeping, or, you know, whatever it is. So mindfulness and gratitude and flexibility and keeping the future close. All of those things. Slowing down. Yeah.
From the groups that you're leading, what are you hearing about the sense of isolation in early parenthood? I feel like that would be a struggle for a lot, especially in New York, where, you know, you look out the window. I remember because my second was born in winter, and it was really, really cold, and my pediatrician did not want us to go out. And I would look out the window and be like, life is happening out there, and I am in here. And I felt very isolated and started to get overwhelmed. What are you hearing in your groups about that?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's certainly a theme that has come up in waves at different times during this time frame over the past 2 months or so. That isolation piece in that early parenthood just generally can be a thing. But what I have also found in the groups is if people are reaching out to other people, so in the groups that are run, this is already happening once or more times a week, that can be grounding and that can be relieving. When you're a new parent, one of the things that I truly believe is so helpful is talking to other new parents, talking to other new moms, going and growing through it. And so, you know, back to the, yes, you might be grieving the expectation or hope that you would have been out and about. That might be a part of it, but that isolation piece, it's sort of, there's a little bit of, this happens in this time frame. New parenthood tends to be somewhat isolating anyway, or can be. Being a new parent for the first time, you don't know that experience. So it seems that it might just be COVID-related in this climate, and that might spark up some of that anxious piece. But what I am finding in the groups, conversation around, what is this like for my baby? My baby was just starting to get social, starting to make eye contact, really enjoying faces of other people, you know, liked walks with me, walking to Central Park. My sense is that your baby is fine no matter what, if you're fine. And so for the mom, finding a place where they can complain and rejoice with someone else or a group of other people has really made a difference to a lot of people. And knowing that, like all of us, whether we have new families or not, knowing that there's waves in this, there's ups and downs. Ups and downs can come in a day. Ups and downs can come in a moment. And, you know, riding those waves and reaching out, not being too proud to reach out. You know, whether it's to your partner or to your friend or to your therapist or your group that you're a part of, reaching out, finding ways to stay connected is important no matter what. And I think is particularly important in this time when physically we're not connected to so many people.
Yeah, I think you're right with staying connected. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I'd love to hear what you're noticing the biggest concerns are at this time and what kind of support you're offering them. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Calendar. Let's be real. Running a household can be exhausting and chaotic. And finding the perfect Mother's Day gift, it's not exactly a no-brainer. Until now. The Skylight Calendar is the best way to organize the family and give everyone, especially mom, some peace of mind to enjoy the things that matter most. The Skylight Calendar is a smart, touchscreen calendar that keeps track of and manages the chores, dinner planning, groceries, and to-dos for the whole family. The Skylight Calendar automatically syncs each family member's digital calendars and displays them all together on one color-coded touchscreen. It even doubles as a digital picture frame so you can finally share all those special moments that are just sitting on your phone. As a limited-time offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight calendar when you go to skylightcal.com/easy. That's skylightcal.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightcal.com/easy.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Okay, so what are you hearing about the biggest concerns at this time? And when you do hear that, what are you offering them in terms to help them?
Yeah, well, even building on what we were just talking about, that sort of the connection, finding ways to connect. You know, activating your social networks or reaching out to other mothers or going on various chat groups, Facebook pages, whatever, to connect with others growing through this new parenting experience so you don't feel so alone. Implementing routines is another thing we talk about, you know, and while your baby, you know, as a new mom, we often want, when is our baby going to, you know, be on a schedule? I'm not talking about schedule, and I'm not even talking about baby. But ritualizing some routines for yourself as an adult, as a mom, as a new mom, as a human, you know, and that might be, and it might come at different times during the day because you're catching, perhaps you're catching sleep where you can. But ritualizing certain parts of your day. Maybe it's time that when you connect with your partner. Maybe it's you're starting to implement infant massage, doing some infant massage with your baby. Or when you give your baby a bath, sort of ritualizing that time for yourself as much as your baby. Having some things in the day that are for yourself, that whether it's, you know,
Let's jump into that more.
Yeah, right.
Because you actually, right. I have that as a topic as well as, I did want to talk about schedules, but we can get there in a second. But let's talk about that. Mm-hmm. The new parent, brand new baby, assuming maybe partnered, maybe partners at home. How do we get that time carved out? It's hard. Like, new babies require a lot of hands-on time.
Right. That's right. That's right. So there's going to be a need for flexibility in it. And perhaps, I mean, if you are partnered, really setting your, you know, that whole saying, you know, when you're on an airplane, you put on the mask for yourself first before attending to others. Really prioritizing some part of the day, even 10 minutes, even 15 minutes, that is your time. So that might be a negotiation with your partner. If you're partnered, asking for what you need. I need some time at this time tomorrow. I need 3 o'clock, unless I'm feeding, from 3 to 4. I need to be able to take a bath, take a shower. If you can do this, take a walk around the block. Some separate time can be helpful. Maybe that's not possible. Doing that time with your baby, lying down with your baby, listening to music that you want to listen to, talking to a friend as you're walking around, doing some things that are things that bring you something, feed you in some way, is imperative. And what I've been doing a lot of work with in my groups, in my individual and couple session, is your breath, coming back to your breath, coming back into your body, has been, is a 1 minute to 15 minute reboot. You know, come back into deep, long breathing, breathing in deep to a count, breathing out very slowly to count. It recalibrates, it resets a moment. Mm-hmm. Bringing yourself into your moments, into your body, into your breath can really do a lot in terms of caring for self, making sure you're eating meals, making sure you're drinking enough water, having that be a priority, reaching out to your friend to help you remember to do that, putting it in your calendar so your phone gives you a little beep and tells you, okay, time to drink another cup of water. Setting up stations in your house where there's water or some food for you to snack on, you know, when you're nursing, how depleted you can get.
But I love what you're saying about the 1 hour, because sometimes, and doing things, what made me think is when it said listening to music you like. I mean, I feel like I've listened to Kids Bop, and then in the early stages, like nursery rhymes and Disney galore. And I think sometimes...
That's really nice of you.
Uh-huh. Well, a secret is I kind of like some of the Disney stuff.
Okay, fair enough.
I will sing My Little Mermaid along with Sage.
All good.
My dear little secret there. But it did make me think about the early stages of parenthood often can collide with an identity crisis of like, all I am is now a parent. And now someone really can feel trapped in that role as they're trying to find out who they are, their parent. Yes, but they still have some likings of their own. They don't have to totally sacrifice. And I can imagine when one is isolated and the world has gotten kind of small, that that identity could get lost a little bit too.
Yes, yes. Yeah, everything that you can go through postpartum, say, is magnified in this setting. Yes, absolutely. So it takes intention.
Intention. Yes.
And surrender and flexibility. But yes, the intention is key. I intend to consider myself in this day as well.
Yes. You just totally hit it. Because it's so easy to go through your day for someone else, go through your day also with the anxiety and the grief of what's happening, and not even set intention of like, but wait a minute, what can I do for me? I'm still me. Right. I'm still, oh, wow, I love that. Yes. That really struck something at me.
Right. And even, you know, I think that even the music is a good, play the music you like too. I mean, and if that happens to be the Little Mermaid,
that's not my first choice.
For it's that. Just... but you know, just saying, but yes. I mean, especially for new mom, play the music you want to hear, you know, listen to a podcast, escape in those moments, that you can maybe bring your baby into with you. Or if you have, the luxury of, sharing space and time with someone else, you know, you can divide and conquer, or you can all do it together. So it is going to look a little different, but the intention is to incorporate you in the day, incorporate you somewhere and somehow in the day. How do I wish to do that?
That's so important. You really hit something there. Thank you. I like that. I'm going to tap into a little bit. Mm-hmm. I have so many questions, so I want to tap into a little bit of your sleep consultant brain. So when I was writing this up, I was thinking one thing that I found a little stressful. Again, I'm a little type A. When I had my kids is I really did keep to a sleep and nap schedule. And so as I was thinking, it's like, well, they're home. That's great. So you don't have to worry about running home or anything. But are you finding that, I mean, this might be more for the older child, sleep regression or things now that the whole family, what about now that the whole family is home? And especially if they're in New York and it's not, say you have a newborn and then you have a toddler, which is not unusual. And, you know, the toddler used to be at some sort of preschool or you know, whatever. And now, and if it's a bigger family, everyone's home. How is that being handled?
I would say I think it's being experienced all over the board. Mm-hmm. First of all, you know, people are doing it in all sorts of ways. Just like at any other time, what works for the family, whoever makes up that family, is what needs to be considered. So if you are a parent that has that you have a sleep plan that's been working with your child, sticking with that sleep plan, will help in all sorts of ways. When it goes off the rails, as you're, you know, like you just described, you know, they're not getting out and running around in the same way. This, again, for the older, perhaps the older child, but not getting out, running around, getting as much fresh air, all those pieces can make sleep time more difficult. So during this time, we're all writing the script as we're going through it. But if you have a sleep plan that has worked, you know what you can fall back on, and sticking to that as best you can, which might mean you're cutting down on the naps for those that are still taking naps, for like the 4-year-old that, or the 3-year-old rather, that might still be taking a nap, might look a little different now, but they still need sleep. They still need sleep, and being exposed to as much daylight, whether they're able to actually run around outside in it all day long, keeping the structure for, especially for the younger, for the older young child, is really important. I'm sure you find this in your home too. Mm-hmm. The structure, the kids rely on that, count on it. And so that goes right into sleep schedules. For the younger babies and toddlers, where it might be more all over the place, listen, you have to do what's working for the family. So if going to bed at 9 o'clock at night and sleeping till, you know, later in the day is actually working, okay, then there's nothing broken there. Mm-hmm. If something isn't feeling right, if it's become more disruptive, if it's becoming all over the place, that might be the place where we're going to have to tighten up, where you're going to have to tighten up. It might be that you skew everything later, you skew everything a bit earlier, but being consistent and being flexible is going to be important, because you don't know, you know, what will work on a regular day, meaning 6 months ago, and what will work now. There might be some difference, but it's within a range. It's not all different.
So if someone's getting kind of anxious about it, just kind of go with it. Like, you know, your child eventually will sleep again. It's not going to ruin them. That's good.
100,000 million
I can imagine
percent.
Some people like, absolutely. No, I must. All right. So I was also thinking about, again, I was picturing my life when I was in New York, and if we were still in an apartment, all of us, especially if someone maybe had been on maternity leave and they kind of got into their own groove of being a parent, and maybe if they are partnered, the partner wasn't there as much. So I'm kind of painting a big picture here. But now that everyone's cohabitating a little closer, any advice for how the parents can deal with their own parenting skills and this constant togetherness? Because I think that could also be, we're talking about grief. There could be literally a grief of, I just, you know, I had it going. I had my routine, you know, and now I've lost what I felt in the groove with. I lost, do you know what I mean? Just see what I'm getting at? So I'd love to be.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So I think, again, communication with your partner is going to, it's always important, right? Like, the better we communicate with our partner, the better chance we have of getting our needs met, getting their needs met, etc. So communication is going to be key. Humor is going to be key. And in the practical places, creating structure and creating physical structure in the house. So, you know, you might only be living in a one bedroom. This is a reality. And maybe your partner is back at work already. Maybe you're even back at work. So there's going to be this tag teaming. There's going to be, perhaps looking at the calendars, coming up with schedules, either verbally or written down, like, these are the hours I have to work, creating, you know, and then, so where can I get my needs met in here? I need to be able to take a nap and take a shower. Can you work your schedule so I have this time for my shower and this time for my rest time during the daytime hours. So that tag teaming is important. Splitting up the day is important. The communication is going to be really important. In terms of the physical space, creating space, even in that studio, even in that one bedroom, that this is the work area. This is where partner or I do my outside of home work. So that there's a differentiation in space and time between this is when I'm at the office and this is when I'm with the family, can be helpful. Setting up blocks of time where this is free time, checking in with the other person during the day, even if it's a full day of work for one person, checking in, whether that's by text or maybe even now the luxury of a squeeze or a hug, some physical contact can be very helpful in sort of grounding you through the day. It's hard because, you know, perhaps the mom on maternity leave doesn't want to bother the partner who happens to be home but isn't really as involved as you would hope or think because they're still at work all day long. Have that conversation. What is in fact possible? And maybe it's not possible,
and that
but maybe there is something that
some,
can be.
Yeah, and that can create some anxiety. I know my husband and I have really had to work around his time working, my time working. And it's a juggle. It's a really strong balancing. And,
yes.
And I know that there's been times like I have teacher trainings during this. I'm literally teaching. Luckily, I have a basement, but I'm there for like almost 30 hours a weekend. And I know that there's a respect to like, yeah, I have to do this. I love to do it. But then there's also a little resentment at times. Like now I'm with the kids the whole time. So what about, can you speak to how that may come up as well?
Well, I think you said it perfectly. It's going to come up, you know, it's going to come up and nothing is going to be as perfect as we hope it will be, right? So, or maybe you're not going to do, you know, keeping those expectations lower. I joke, but I am actually serious. Like keeping that bar, maybe only a few inches off the ground, you know, keeping the bar kind of lower.
We're alive, we're fed.
Yes,
we're bathing on a regular basis. Like that's where
our semi-regular. yes, keeping that low. So, and that's sort of, you know, there allow for more forgiveness in your own work, in your own production, in your own perhaps parenting. You know, it's talk about being a good enough parent. You know, here's an opportunity to really let that shine. You know, we're imperfect, thank God. And here, look how imperfect I am. In terms
like
of the couple,
we can actually embrace the imperfect because I think sometimes socially we, you know, I remember going to like the playgrounds, be like, oh, that person seems such a great parent, and I'm a hot mess. You know, that's at least taken off the table. Like. We don't have to worry about that. So let's look at that positive. So maybe embrace the imperfect because there's no one to judge you but yourself. So, okay.
And what you said was really important, like the resentment that can build. The, hey, wait a minute, who's working more here? You know, I was with the kids all morning. I need a break too, and I need to teach. And I've been working all day, and I need a break too before I take on the kid. You know, all that stuff. Yeah, that has to be part of the conversation. That has to be part of the communication. If you are able to use a sense of humor, God bless. That's really going to go a long way, you know, because... Yeah, it's really challenging, and at any point, it's really challenging. But when you're both sort of navigating space and time and hours and childcare and work and, you know, work-life balance with a big ha-ha attached to it, you know, there's not – it's going to look different.
Especially, I think, first-time parents, there's enough anxiety already, like, let's just keep this baby alive. Now we're trying to keep the baby alive, and we don't have really the help around. That's anxiety-producing as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. There is no perfect way to do it. You know, I'm sure you find this, too. There are days or weeks that you feel like, oh, we had our groove down this day or this week. And then another day or another week, it's like, oh, my God, what just happened here?
Yeah.
You know, or I can't stand that person I made that baby with. Are you kidding me? You know, normal.
Yeah.
Normal.
Well, before we wrap up, I still have a couple more questions, but before we start to transition, is there anything that you think we haven't covered about early parenthood, grief, anxiety during this very unusual time?
Yeah. I think grounding yourself, or at least reminding yourself for a new parent that this is not, certainly the backdrop is different, right? And the thing about the backdrop being different is everybody in this country and world has a similar backdrop. Mm. So there's that. But for a new parent, it often looks like this anyway. You're nesting in. You're nesting in. You're going from room to room. You're on a 24-hour kind of cycle. There's less of a delineation of day or night or structure or routines. And this is that. So changing your expectation of what new parenthood would look like, say what the first couple months might look like, it's very different in that you might not have visitors, you might not be able to, you're not going maybe to grandparents or grandparents coming to you, or where you might have had a night nurse, you're not having a night nurse, or whatever the thing might be for your family. But you're also nesting in. And you're also learning your baby, and you're also figuring this stuff out. And you would be doing this 6 months ago as you're doing it now. Mm. It's just sitting in the context of a different landscape that makes it feel so different and kind of adds those other parts to it that are challenging, to say the least.
That's perfect.
And again, I do want to say, just grounding yourself in your breath, your body, checking in with yourself, knowing that you are okay. This is okay. I will be okay. I am okay. My baby's okay. Remembering that, reaching out to other moms, or support systems in the ways you can. Is that really, really helpful? Whether it's a virtual new mothers group, which hopefully in the near future or some future will be a physical mothers group.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So we're going to take another quick break. When we come back, now you've already given some major pieces of advice and tips, but if you have now been a mother of two girls, you have been doing this work for as long as I've known you, baby after baby after baby. I'm sure you've worked with hundreds of thousands of babies. When we come back, if you can offer one tip or piece of advice that you'd like to offer a new or expectant parent. So it doesn't have necessarily do even about COVID or anxiety or grief, just something from your very rich knowledge that you'd like to leave us with. We'll be right back. Okay, we are back. So, do you have one juicy tip or piece of advice that you'd like to offer new or expectant parents?
Yeah, connection. Mm. Connection. Connection, connection, connection. And I'd say next to that, surrender, holding up the white flag. So connection in any way you can do that, connecting with support systems, resources, other, and specifically, or maybe most importantly, other new moms, community. That is, I find that to be a priceless piece of strength building and groundedness at any time.
Do you remember that? I don't know where it went to.
Yes, I know what you're going to say.
Oh, we had that beautiful picture at PYC that said surrender. I have no idea.
That's right.
What happened to it?
Where did that go?
I don't know.
It was perfect.
If we get back, which we will someday, we'll get back. When we get back,
we will.
Actually, today marks 2 months that I've been to the studio. Oh my God. But when we get back, I will find something similar. It was a poster that said surrender.
Yeah.
And I had it in our old studio, in the dressing room, where often parents would go when they had their crying baby. Usually it's where everyone went, their baby's crying, they went to get out of the main room. They went there. And it was just there for the idea of like surrender. So I'm going to find that, because I think really that comes, there's so many great pieces you gave, the idea of intention and surrender. And I think surrender just kind of covers it. Like we can't change what's going on out there, but we can change how we can surrender to it. And surrender and ride it out. So, I love
that's
that.
Right.
I think that's like
riding the wave.
Yeah, I'm going to pull that. Like, surrender is kind of the golden word of this whole experience.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right. That's right. We could spend our time fighting it, or we can ride the wave.
Mm-hmm. Where can people find your work?
So, people can find my work. I have a website that one day I will really, really update, but momsupport.org.
I say that because I've known you for a very long time.
Oh, I think I've said that for about 15 years, haven't I? Yep. So you can call me, you can email me, jessica@momsupport.org. You can call me at 347-875-7123.
You want to give your phone number out on a podcast.
There you go. What the hell? You know,
and then, of course, at PYC.
Yeah, reaching out.
And
say that
course,
again?
And, of course, you're at PYC. So
and,
we
of course,
will,
I'm at PYC. And
with
my groups
wonderful
through there continue to run.
Your groups, I still am friends with people I met in the group when I was with Shay when he was 10 weeks old. Your groups are special.
Aww.
Your groups are really special. And I hear that. And I'm not just saying that because I'm the owner of the studio. I'm saying that as somebody that has been through it. I am saying that as someone that hears other students talk about they're still friends with their original crew, even though a lot of people are now in different states, some even different countries.
Yeah, yeah.
There's something really special about what you do with them. And it is such an honor that you have been with PYC. I think since the beginning. I mean, PYC is 18 years old this August, which boggles my mind.
Oh, wow. So yeah, that is unbelievable. Yes. Yes. So I've been with you since the beginning.
Time.
That's right.
And so I just want to
say,
thank you.
It's an incredible. Yeah. Thank you. And the people that it's a ripe and beautiful time for women, for moms to connect, you know, we crave that. So we're open to it. And that vulnerability that we bring to a group brings groups together. And so it's always an honor to be a part of the groups that I run, whether it's there. I run them in a few different yoga studios and privately around the city. And now virtually. So,
those that are listening to this,
times.
If you want to spend some time with Jessica, and because we are running them virtually for God knows how long, don't be shy about still joining our group, even if you're not in New York. In fact, I think we need support no matter where we are. Well, I want to thank you so much for really everything that you do and for your time today.
Aww. Thank you, Deb, and thank you for everything you do as well. You really bring community together for a lot of people, and it's wonderful.
Thanks. All right, we'll talk later. Be well. Bye.
This has been an episode of Yoga Birth Babies, produced by Prenatal Yoga Center. You can catch us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Periscope. I'm Deb Flaschenberg. Thanks for listening.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.